countless dimensions from a place we call Earth lies a vast expanse of darkness, enslaved by turmoil and strife. The shadows grow long. Darkness spreads as far as the eye can see. Evil seeps through the endless void. Chaos reigns. Of those who have ventured into the shadowy domain, only an unfortunate few have survived to impart the tales of the Dark Realms. It's a nice
day to be repeatedly tricked by horror covers.
It's a nice day for a
ween.
It's a nice day to start again.
Welcome back to Ween.
Ween.
I'm Jeff, that's John, this is the show.
Try the ween. It's fresh. Not like last year when we had old ween.
Last year was old ween, and that was no good for anyone.
Hot, piping fresh, mulled ween.
It's just ween this year, it's fresh ween in the season of the ween. It's a pumpkin.
Yes, yeah. Season of the ween, Halloween 3.
Come on down and try our festive ween spice latte. Don't ask how we make it.
Who doesn't want mulled ween? I mean, come on.
I mean, what is mold? Is that just Mulder's dick?
Or, yeah, it's Mulder's dick.
Fox Mulder's
Welcome
dick.
Welcome down to Mulder's dick, Indiana. We've got the best ween.
Once again, Middle America, if there's a small town in you called Mulder's dick, let us know because we would love to go there.
Yeah, if there is a place that's just like Mulder's dick, North Dakota, obviously I'm going to stop in.
Especially if it's in Ohio.
But especially if it's anywhere but Ohio.
No, I just mean if there's a place called Mulder's Dick, North Dakota and Ohio, that would be fantastic. That'd be great for me. So anyway, John, what were you reading at this? What was that intro? What's going on?
Where are we right now? What do we do?
What's the premise of the show?
So what I was reading was the back of a book called Dark Realms Role-Playing Universe.
Oh, okay, so you're reading the back of the book that we're reviewing this time, because it sounded to me like you were just reading like Vincent Price's lines from Thriller.
Oh, yeah, well, I didn't quite get to the terrorizing y'all's neighborhood.
Darkness stops across the land.
Yep.
Yeah, no, this is the book we have chosen. We're kind of running low on horror stuff over here.
The problem being, you look at this book, and it's got, like, a big weird, like, eye in a temple and swirling darkness, and the back is all about, like, the lords of darkness and chaos reigns, and you're like, oh, this is going to be a rad, cool book about, like, a horror universe or whatever, and then you open it up, and you're like, so the stats for a goblin are, and you're like, oh, fuck you, you tricked me.
Yeah, this book done hornswoggled us.
I got bamboozled by this goddamn Dark Realms.
First of all, I'm going to go ahead and throw the blame on this one. Not on us, because we are, of course, blameless in all matters. We don't do research before.
We're pure, innocent babes.
Uh-huh. We are simply lost in the woods, following trails of breadcrumbs towards purity. Right? Right, John?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Uh-huh. That's us. We are there. There could be two no more cleaner cloths in the industry.
That's right. We do not sully ourselves like others. We do not debase ourselves.
No, if we're not doing this podcast, we obey a strict vow of silence.
Yes,
we only break for the podcast.
I have a strict vow of purity.
Mm-hmm.
I only smoke the purest weed.
John also has a strict vow of celibacy. Well, it's not really a vow. It's just that he doesn't get any.
Involuntary vow of celibacy.
Oh, no. Don't go on the internet.
Oh, no. I just found out we live in a society, Jeff.
But yet I am very intelligent. So, no, we're blameless in these matters that this book is just a friggin' heartbreaker knockoff. Obviously, the person we can lay
We
can lay the feet of the blame at
is Quentin Tarantino, because he'll love that.
Quentin Tarantino would be way into that.
If we were like, let me lay these feet on you, and he's like, yes.
Heck yeah. Can we dangle them over a porch or something?
Yeah. How many times can those feet say the N-word?
This is the only thing in my life I like anymore. I'm Quentin Tarantino, and don't ask me any questions at film festivals or anything, because I'll just look at you. No, I think we can blame James for this one because he gave us this book.
That's right. Two-time published author, TV's James D'Amato,
yeah,
gave us this book thinking it would be perfect for Ween.
Yeah, and you trusted him like a fool.
Like a damned fool.
I warned you against it. I was like, John, trust me, I know James. My middle name is James.
And I was like, my middle name is Trusting.
Well, that's a problem. Does that mean you're very trusting of tailors, or is that just a coincidence?
Oh, that's just a coincidence that okay. I am also very trusting of any tailors.
But you are, though.
I am, obviously. Yes, yeah. And.
Anyone who's a tailor, like, hello, I work with cloth.
Yeah, whether they work with cloth or their last name is Taylor or their first name is Taylor.
Does that mean you like, say, for example, Elam Garrick? Are you a fan of Elam Garrick?
Obviously.
The first tailor I could think of.
And Taylor Lautner.
Oh, we're doing the name version and the people who are tailors.
Yes, because that's what I just said. Why aren't you paying attention to the words that come out of my mouth?
Because I don't know.
Are you just thinking about DS9? Is that what's happening right now?
DS9.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Did you know that they put a Ferengi in Starfleet? I miss those heartening days of DS.
And if you believe, they put a Ferengi in Starfleet.
And he lost his leg.
God damn it. Okay. This book is bad, and that's why we're just mugging a lot. Also because we do that.
Also because it's like 30 pages long.
Yeah. This is just a pamphlet on how to ruin a fantasy game.
So it opens with a thing where it's like, hey, the reason that this book exists is so that you can use these rules that we have created to run any other game's campaign setting.
Yeah, they're like, look, these rules are just generic fantasy rules, and if you use them, you can use them in any game. Of course, we only have 6 races and a very strict skill system and all the stats for different monsters, so obviously you can't.
Also, the magic system is a weird mix of aggressively complicated and not complicated enough.
It's improv. And that's,
oh god, the magic system, the part where we'll get to it, because it's like halfway through the book, and honestly it's kind of the meat of things.
Oh yeah, it's the best part of this book.
Yes. So why don't we start with the weirdest thing about this book, which is that it's all d12.
It is a d12 based system.
1997, by the way.
Yeah, 97's D12 based system.
If you were wondering what year this chunk of Heartbreaker fell out of the womb of the gaming populace, it was 1997.
The womb of the gaming populace.
That's gonna go on my
collective gaming womb.
That's gonna go on my tombstone right there.
This book,
the womb of the gaming populace,
is going to be on your tombstone.
That's right. I'm going to be farting out Heartbreakers, which aren't called that anymore. Nowadays, they're
called... I'm going to be harting out Fartbreakers.
Nowadays, you have to call them OSR, Works of Vision.
So, one of the first things that it has in here, outside of telling you that this is definitely a generic system and you could use for whatever...
Yeah, run riffs with this, guys. Just swap these rules in.
It wants to let you know about some of the conventions in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, we're going to have a number, an R, and then in parentheses, the column that you will roll on. Because this entire game is roll on a column based on what numbers come up.
Yeah, on the first or second page of the book, there's a little column that you can see. And it is dreadfully confusing. And it's going to take quite a while to explain it.
The problem with this, though, is they're like, oh, in the book, just so you know, instead of saying that you're going to roll 1d12 and then go look at table +2 to +4, we'll instead just put 2r +2 to +4 next to it.
And that would indicate that you're rolling 2d12, which I didn't ever see happen.
Yeah. I mean, there are, I think, a couple times that you roll more than 1d12.
Yeah, it's usually like monsters appearing or something. Yeah.
But they tell you this, and then throughout the book, they will continue to not do that, and then afterwards tell you the notation again.
Yeah. There's a part around the middle of the book where they suddenly announce, by the way, in this case, you'll want to roll a d12 and check on the +1 to -1 column, and then in parentheses, this will be the last time we use this notation. In the future, we will only use the simplified notation.
Yeah, and then they don't.
They just don't. I mean, again, I gotta stress this book is maybe 40 pages.
Yeah,
there's a lot of writing as if this was for posterity.
Man, I really am amazed that a book that is this small, because it's not even like 40 pages in your standard like full-sized RPG, it is also the size of a paperback and about 40 pages.
No, I've brushed copies of The Watchtower off of bus station seats that are larger than this book.
And I am just amazed at the amount of times this book then also, like every heartbreaker, is like, and you'll of course want to check out our upcoming book for more instances of whatever.
Yeah, there's an upcoming book for this game about more, it's going to be more magic nonsense. It's called like Minions of Magic or something.
Yeah, I think they were like, oh, we're going to have a magic book and we're also going to have an entire guide to creatures or whatever. I'm like, no, you're not. Stop saying that.
Don't say that. Half the time when we don't do the research on these things, and half the time when we're like, they never made another book. This thing is trash. It turns out that they made 3 more books and 4 more editions. So I don't know what's happening here for sure, because I didn't go look into it. Mostly because Dark Realms is going to be a pain in the ass to Google.
I mean, yes. So
let's talk about that table.
The table. It's a D12 table that has a, like, one column is your 1 through 12. And then on top of it, you've got a list of places where you will then, whatever you roll, go look at whatever the original number that took you to the table is. Because the D12 that you roll there is after you've already compared static numbers. So you don't really roll to hit.
No.
As much as you have a 2-hit score, someone has a defense score, you take the defense score, subtract it from the attack score, that will give you one number, you then go to the table, whatever that number falls under, then you'll roll a D12 to see what the results are.
Yes, so for
example, it is not in order.
Oh god, it's going to get, every step of this is, this is just a layer cake of stupid, and each layer gets worse, but it starts with the one where it's like, alright, to roll to hit someone, let's say you have a positive 3 modifier to hit someone, which you determine that combat score, by the way, by averaging all of your stats. And your stats range from 1 to 4, so get used to having 2s and 3s there. Now,
well, I mean, you do have skills.
That's true. You also have, but your base combat stat is literally the average of all of your stats. But anyway, your other person, let's say they have a defense value of 3. That means that you have a positive 1 modifier when you roll. So now you go to the top of this 1d12 chart, and you'll see a section that says -1 to +1. And that's going to be, when you roll your D12, that'll be the column that you look at your results on.
Yeah, so like 1 is a 3, 2 and 3 are blank, 4 is a 2. And you're just like, what? Why?
Well, as it turns out, John, the number results in the chart are non-sequential. So when you roll your D12, you always have to go look at this chart, because it doesn't just go blank, 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 1, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. It goes 2, ... 1, ... 4, ... 1, ... 1.
Yeah, and the far end of the table, there is always one result that is blank, no matter what. As high as you can get, if you have a 10 up, then 12 is blank, but then the numbers you can roll range from a 2 to a 15 in the chart at just random levels that it goes up, because it's like, oh, you've got a 2 and a 3, no 4, 5, 2 6s, 2 7s, 1 8, no 9s, a 10, a 13 without an 11 or a 12, and a 15. You're like, where did you get these numbers?
At least those ones are going sequentially, kind of.
No, that's not in order.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Because that's the thing that drives me nuts, is that you'd think, for simplicity's sake, and to let people try and kind of, say, for example, maybe memorize how to play the game so they could play it quickly, you'd be like, all right, what's this +1 to -1, which is going to be invariably the most complicated result on the table? Oh, it's going to be 4 dashes, and then a bunch of 1s, and then a 2 and a 3 for crit hits. And that's that way you can kind of memorize it. You'll always have it in your head.
Because you can go, oh, I rolled a 4. I know that the first 4 results are nothing, so that's fine. Or, ooh, I rolled an 11. I know that's going to be good.
Yeah.
But no, you never know. If you rolled an 11 on, let's see, the 10 up, you get an 8. But if you rolled it on 8 to 9, you get a 3. But if you rolled it on 5 to 7, you get a 7. What? is happening here?
It's just randomized. And I think it's because they were thinking like, oh, well, the game works entirely off a single D12 roll, so it doesn't need to have a bell curve. So why would you put things in sequential order where maybe it goes high towards the top and or goes mid towards the top with low, with fumbles and crits on the edges of the bell? It doesn't matter if we put them sequentially. And all I can think is, yes, it does, because it lets you build towards system mastery.
Yeah, because otherwise, every player has to have a copy of this chart in front of them at all times, because unless you have sat there and looked at it for years at this point, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know what a 4 on a 3-5 result is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 3.
Okay. No, it's just, it's mind-boggling. It's the when I first got my hands on this book and popped it open so I could get started on reading it, I saw this is the first thing I came across after being like, yeah, whatever, you can use this to play any game, I sure hope this is still a horror game. And then I come across this chart and I'm just like, you're kidding, this is okay, this is going to be the primary thing in this book.
Yeah, the weird thing for me is looking at this chart, I go, I almost would understand if you were talking about, like, this chart is, like, just for damage or modifiers or whatever, but it's for skill resolution, too,
mm-hmm.
And
it's for almost everything.
Oh, it is for literally everything.
Yeah.
It's, so there's skills in this,
mm-hmm.
And that's jumping ahead of the race selection, but I don't care.
That's fine, go ahead.
So you will have points in some skill.
Yeah, skills are divided between large category blocks, which are called field skills,
yeah.
Or skill fields, excuse me, and then individual skills inside those fields. And there's always, I think, 4 skills in a skill field?
It depends, because, okay. Like, smithing is a field, and it only has armor smithing, and jewelry.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So sometimes there's less.
Yeah, and sometimes there's more. It doesn't really match up to any reason, because why would anything in this book make sense or be consistent? But the thing is, you get a number in your skill, and whether you get penalties or bonuses based on situational things, whatever your number is, you roll that on that chart and, you know, get your result.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a dash, that's a failure.
Yes.
So anything else is a success, but then a running theme in this book is, we don't have rules for things. Your realm master will tell you what it means.
Uh-huh.
Because it'll be like, what does a 1 mean if I roll 1 on my chart for a success? And like, I don't know, maybe that's a marginal success. Okay, but what if I roll a 5 versus an 8? I don't know.
I mean, that's a hard one to blame them for specifically. That's a problem.
It's very easy to blame them, because you could have just said,
I know.
We didn't put everything on one dumb chart with random numbers.
No, I know. I'm just saying that the whole thing of variable success ranges and leaving it up to DM interpretation and providing shitty examples or no example at all is a regular thing that we run into all the time.
But at least in other ones, they'd say, like, oh, a 1-3 is a mild success. A 4-7 is a medium success.
I'm just going to throw Exalted on the altar here and be like, hey, what about the times when Exalted's like, a 5 success is the greatest success in the history of successes. No one could ever possibly do better than this. It's like if 1,000 Olympic medalists for the sport of fucking all fucked the best they could at once. That's how good a 5 is. And you're like, I got 14 successes. What does that mean? I don't know. It doesn't matter. We stopped at 5.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, at least in there, mechanically, what it means is you got 14 successes, and that actually translates to something.
That is fair.
Whereas in this, having 4 success versus rolling a 10 success means nothing. It just depends on how your person running the game wants to interpret it, because there is literally no guideline.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird and dumb. Yeah, but there's absolutely no guideline to these. Field skills, the way they work is, or skill fields, excuse me. When you buy a skill field, you get a ranking of 2 in all the skills that are in that skill field. But that's static. You can never change the skill field ranking. You can't get above a 2 in a skill field if you have a skill field. But if you buy individual skills, you can raise that rank as high as you would like to with that individual skill.
Yeah.
You have to buy the skill field before you can buy an individual skill within that skill field.
Yeah, you have to be generically decent at whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. before you can be specifically good at something, which is not true, but whatever.
But before we get, how about this one, John? Do you know how to generate stats for characters in this game? Would you believe it's the same fucking chart? Because it is.
I hate the fact that they're like, oh, everyone's going to roll on the...
+3 to +4 column.
It's the +2 to +4 column.
Excuse me.
And that gives you a range of anywhere from most unlikely is a 1 or a 5. And then generally 2 or 3 and a little bit 4 you can get.
Yeah.
At least with this, if you roll a dash for your attribute, you re-roll.
That's not an at least. That's a shitty mechanic.
Well.
How often should I have to roll dice that don't do anything at all and roll them again?
I mean... I'm saying at least because at least the game didn't go, you rolled a dash, you don't have anything in that stat.
I guess that's
true. Fuck you, buddy.
Your stat is nothing. John, let me ask you, in the 2 to 4 column, how many dashes are there?
There are... Jesus, there are 3?
So you'd have... Well, great. If there was one more, you could just be like, fuck it, use a D8.
Nope. Nope. They are going to be as difficult to use as possible.
That's
There's
amazing.
There's one result of 1, one result of 5, everything else 2 through 4, and... Good Lord, it is just bad.
That is, oh man, that's ridiculous. Okay, well, there you go. So that's how you roll stats in this game. You sit there and roll over and over again until you don't have any dashes. You're going to have a whole stat array of mostly 2s and 3s.
Yep, but then you do get to pick where they go.
That's true.
Because you're only going to roll for your 5 stats. You have strength, intelligence, endurance, dexterity, and presence.
Yes, and presence is a mix of...
Charisma
and comeliness, so that in case you were curious. The only reason I remember that off the top of my head in this book is because there's a part where the person who's baking their character, as an example, is making an elf maiden, and they're like, I wish my elf maiden was more buxom than they are, but such is the vagaries of the dice.
Now, of course, you're going to get your stats and put them in wherever, and every race has a... plus and minus to various stats.
Yep.
Even human, it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. Anything you pick is going to have a stat variation.
Yep, humans, as I recall, get what? +1 strength and -1...
They're +1 strength, -1 dexterity.
There it is. Okay, great. So the choices, however, are fascinating. Why don't we get into the wonderful things you can play as, John?
Yeah,
In this, by the way, this game called Dark Realms, about how, like... the evil world is coming, and there's a bunch of, like, evil lords and...
There's 2 poles to the universe, and one is evil and one is light, but the darkness is seeping through portals, and they send their minions out and then grab whole worlds and bring them over to darkness, where they mutate and change. And anyway, you can be a dwarf or an elf or a gnome.
Or a human.
Or a human, or one of the hybrid races, a half-elf, a gnomon, which is a human gnome, a half-dwarf, an Olmay, which is an elf gnome, or a Dwerm, a dwarf gnome.
And notice that the Dwelf is not present.
No, there is no dwarf elf.
Yeah, although this is one of those games where elves are short and dwarves are shorter, as opposed to elves kind of being taller and lankier than humans.
Yeah, they went with a more, like, fairy than, like... I guess, World of Warcraft elf.
Hi, I'm a heartbreaker. The first thing heartbreakers usually do is go like, all those D&D and Tolkien elves are bullshit. Real elves are 3 feet tall, they only live in Germany, and they definitely like to fix shoes.
And boy, do they love milk. Now, dwarves, on the other hand, are exactly the same, but they love beer. Now, you look at some of these, and some of the races just feel bad. Like, a human has a +1 and a -1.
Yeah, yeah.
A gnome has a +1 intelligence, a -1 strength.
Yeah, great. Sure, that's fair.
But you look at dwarf and it's like +1 endurance, but -1 dexterity and -1 presence.
Keep in mind that with your stats ranging from 1 to 5, that is a minimum loss of 20%.
Yeah, it's...
That's significant.
And you have... I think the worst one for this that's just going to fuck all your shit up is the dwarf gnome, which is +1 intelligence and endurance and then -1 to everything else.
Oh, Jesus.
Which at that point, the only thing you really get from being a race is your stat modifier, and you have a starting skill field that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have like smithing for dwarves,
right,
or crafting for humans. And then whatever your skill field is, you are +1 rating to any skill that was learned within that and then one other thing. So, like, humans get crafting and engineering, they're considered plus one to anything they learn there.
Yeah, but they automatically have both of those skill fields, I believe.
Well, they automatically have crafting. Everyone gets one they start with, and then another one that they're also good with.
Oh, okay, so they have to buy the engineering one to be good at that, too. Okay.
Yeah. The problem with being a dwarf gnome is not only do you have an extra penalty over being a dwarf, your starting skill field is the same, and you trade out smithing and engineering for smithing and lore as the two things you are good at. So you're taking a minus one on a stat that's already going to be low to just swap what you are good at in a secondary capacity.
Then that's all it does.
And that is the only thing it does.
Yeah.
There is nothing else for races in this book. It's just, you know, maybe you have to get custom tailored things if you're like a dwarf and you find a human armor or whatever.
Towards the end of the book, they include, I think, three or maybe four additional races you could potentially play as. But they're all like, oh, these are optional at your lore master's discretion because they're so weird and different from. And I'm like, guys, what is wrong with you? Made a horror game that has no horror in it, and you were still like afraid to put cat people at the front of the book. You were still like, well, it's normal in a game to put dwarves, gnomes, elves, and humans at the front and nothing else.
But now if you would like to play as a cat person or a goblin,
Minotaur,
cobbled.
Yeah, they have Minotaur, something called Rylar, which I think
is fish people.
Fish people.
It is, from the picture, just creature from the Black Lagoon, fish people.
Yep. Yep, the simple one. The bad guy from Fire Pro Wrestling or whatever. No, wait, it's just...
Fire Pro Wrestling?
No, I've got my old wrestling games confused.
Fire Pro Walk With Me?
Fire Pro Wrestling is an amazing game. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong at all. I don't want you to
will never John, get you
please
wrong.
Please do not get me wrong in this situation.
You get yourself wrong enough that I don't need to.
There's a number of... This is back before the WWE would regularly license themselves out for role-playing for video games. Almost all the video games about wrestling had to be called things like Saturday Night Slam Masters or Fire Pro Wrestling.
Man, Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Sounds like something very different.
That's definitely a thing I participated in.
I think the initial joke for this episode is that you're an incel, so no.
Aw.
That's right. For the entirety of this episode, you have to be an incel.
Aw, no, I don't.
You're right, John. I can't put that label on you.
You don't you dare.
I wouldn't dream of it. You're a good, normal person.
You're a good, nice person. Mm-hmm. You're a real nice guy.
Yeah. Oh no, it's gotten worse.
It just keeps getting worse.
No, honestly though, for real, you're so good at anything you try to do right off the bat. You're just like anything you pick, you any skill you pick up, you immediately are great at it. You're like some sort of pickup artist.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh no.
Or Pua for short. Why don't we go with that?
Or a Puka.
Go ahead.
Okay.
The races suck.
The races are mostly pointless.
I guess it's kind of fun to see that there's like elf gnome and dwarf gnome and
I just
human
like,
gnome.
That's nice and all, but it doesn't mean anything.
They're not interesting. That's less interesting than more races would have been.
Yeah. The problem I also really have with it is it's not like this is informing anything in the game as far as like, oh, you're better for doing certain classes or you've got some reason that this would matter. And all of the example characters are like, oh, they rolled up a whatever and then immediately put their high stats in the things where they get negatives and their lows in the ones they get positive. So they're just threes across the board.
Uh-huh.
I was like, well, great. Good. I'm glad to see that everyone is exactly the same.
Well, that and there's a long history in games of building shitty example characters in the book.
Yeah, there's a long history of breaking little hearts, like the one in me.
Oh, but it took me a second. Okay, I'm up to speed, though.
Good.
It's just, you see, John, my attention span is a real tough cookie.
It's a real oogie cookie.
Which I keep in a dookie jar. Okay, but
now look, I keep my pookies in the dookie jar.
We've been watching far too many shows for children.
That's very true.
Shit, where were we? The races are boring? I
races
don't know.
Are boring.
And you're right. They don't inform anything. And what I was saying was that throughout history, you can just go ahead and say whenever a book presents you with an example character of like how to build a character, they do it wrong. I don't know if they do this on purpose, but every D&D character is like, well, Jim's going to build himself a fighter. He'll start by putting his third highest stat of 12 in strength.
Yeah, every time they're like, well, Jim has a concept where his fighter is a little nicer than others, so he's going to put a 14 in charisma. And you're like, no, he doesn't. Fuck
yeah.
You.
And the problem with that bullshit is that it's informed a whole generation of people to be like, yeah, that's called role-playing.
No, that's called bad character creation. Role-playing is actual role-playing.
Yeah, role-playing is immaterial when it connected to character creation. They are two wholly separate entities.
Instead of classes, you have professions.
Uh-huh. And they're bad.
And boy, howdy, do they do fuck all for you. Because most of the shit in here is like, oh, well, you're playing as a rogue, so you're going to have a bonus of +1 to either dex or intelligence every 9 levels. Are we on the same 20-level progression that D&D is? Yes. Do you get anything in those other levels? No.
That's right. It's not even a 20-level progression. This is one of my favorite things. You look at the XP chart, it tops out at level 9. And then it's like, oh, by the way, for each level after that, you need to earn another 2,500 XP. But this is the basic chart at which that people will be paying attention to, is the level 1 through 9 part of the chart. We don't bother showing you the rest. By the way, when you're a wizard, you get 1 intelligence every 12 levels.
Yeah. It feels weird because...
It is weird.
I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead to a little bit, but the XP in this game is none. You don't get it. It's, you get like an XP per level of the thing you beat. So
yeah.
It was like, oh, I beat a level 6 guy. I got 6 XP.
It's not that bad. It also says...
Oh, it is.
No,
literally
no.
That
no,
bad.
No, I know. You're right. You're not wrong. That part exists. But then there's also a part that's like, also, you should give everybody 30 XP with a sliding penalty based on how little they were present during that episode. It's a lot of those judge your players and then hand out XP accordingly type things.
Yes, but even then, you look
30 is nothing, I know.
You look at it and you're like, oh, by the time you hit 9th level, you're talking about, oh, I need an extra 250,000 to go up every level.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. So that will just take me several years of play, I guess?
Yeah, that's correct. This game is one of those ones where it's like, it has the same problem that Palladium does, where leveling takes so fucking long that you don't even bother with it.
No one cares. Well, at least in Palladium, levels don't matter. Points are all made up.
You know, if you would like an additional D6 hit points and 4 more percent at your radio basic skill, sir, then I would say that you should not brook ill with the leveling system.
Ugh.
Also, who knows what you earn next level in your hand-to-hand martial arts ability? Perhaps an automatic stun on 18 through 20.
If you call that to begin with. All of the classes that are not magic users are essentially just, you'll gain a +1 to whatever one of your main stats is,
mm-hmm,
every 9 to 11 levels.
That's correct.
If you are, let's say, a fighter.
Let's say you're a fighter.
Let's say you're a fighter. Mm-hmm. You're probably the best.
Now say I'm a fighter.
Because you get 1 every 8 levels?
I can't get off unless you say I'm a fighter.
You're not a fighter.
God damn it. I'll never.
Now you'll never get off. Just like me!
But by choice, though.
Yeah, but I'm voluntarily celibate.
That's even worse. Go ahead.
So most of them are just a +1 every, I don't know, couple years of gameplay time.
Yeah.
The only things that actually matter for leveling up, for things that aren't once every 10 levels or whatever, mm-hmm, are the spellcasters, because every level you'll get more spell points with which to cast spells.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's basically the only thing that matters. I mean, mm-hmm, everyone's going to get a few more hit points and some skill points to spend every level.
And I think 4 of the martial no-spell classes get some skills that are unique to them. That they can level up in. I think it's woodsman, rogue, or thief, rather. Knight. Knight is basically just, did you roll pretty well? You should definitely be a knight.
There's a couple special bonuses that you can get that most of them are just the, you gain a, you know, +1 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The archers get to have a specialty skill with shooting bows.
Yeah.
The knight gets to have...
The knight is just this big list of shit.
It's a +1 to presence at 5, And because you're not actually a knight until level 5, you're a squire, but we just called it knight anyway.
Yeah, that's great. There's a little section there that's like, technically, you're not a knight until level 5, but we've decided to just call you a knight for simplicity. And I'm like, no, you wrote the book.
Yeah, and then at level 12, you get one spell twister spell field and 4 spell points. Oh, great.
Given that the only difference between the fighter and the knight is that the fighter doesn't get that stuff and the knight does. It's still better than the fighter.
Yeah, you get... The fighter at least gets their additional attack per turn 2 levels earlier.
Yeah.
Bleh.
But, I mean, you're eventually going to get one as the knight, plus you get some spells.
Yay. But then you have to live by a strict code of honor.
Yeah, and it's...
And the book says you should definitely punish any player who doesn't abide by it.
Yep.
I hate everyone.
I hate it. Yeah, let me just say, I hate every single person in the world.
Yeah, it's very strange to me that they almost wanted to make things generic, because they were like, we've got, like, a woodsman would be sort of a general ranger, or you could combine it with healer to be a druid.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of clerics and other things, we just have healer. And then spell twister for wizards or sorcerers or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, hey, these are very generic classes.
Except they really aren't.
And is there a mechanic by which you switch between them?
When you level up, you can pick whichever profession you want to level up in.
Sure. Fair enough. Not that it matters 90% of the time.
No. Again, the only one that matters when you level up is a spellcaster. And if you're a spellcaster, you're never going to pick something else that doesn't give you spell points because of the way spells work. Which we'll get into eventually.
Oh, goodness, I cannot wait to talk about how spells work.
First off, you get some skill points. You get your initial field from being a race.
Mm-hmm.
You get some more points for being whatever class.
Yep.
And then you just sort of throw points at skills.
You get the average of all of your stats plus the total of your intelligence stat in additional skill points.
Yeah.
And you can use skill points to buy either skill fields or skills within skill fields that you've already purchased. Look at me remembering things.
Yeah, the only thing that isn't a skill is weapon mastery, mm-hmm. which is your actual ability to hit with weapons, because that's the one thing that occasionally while leveling up, the martial classes will get. Like, ooh, you got a +1 every 5 levels to your martial
mm-hmm.
ability. You're like, okay, great.
By the way, one of the classes in the game is just like trader or something.
And yeah, tradesman is you get more skill points than anyone else, and that's it.
Uh-huh. Don't play this, it says. This is for NPCs. By the way, here's an example of how to play this.
Why? Why have you done this?
You should just play as a woodman instead, and then when you're defeated, you give people a leaf shield.
Then there are, like we were saying before, a few specialty skills for 4 of the people. So an archer can put points into long shot, quick shot, trick shot, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Assassins, although Dead they
shot.
Have assassin and rogue as 2 different things in this.
They
which
do.
Is, ugh. But the assassin skills are basically all just poison-based.
Well, because this is just one of those generic heartbreakers that for some reason seems to assume that the medieval world was just crawling with assassins.
I guess.
No, there's only one assassin, and you play as them, and you always stay up on rooftops and dive into hay bales. It's like these guys don't even know how assassins work.
It's like these guys are all Templars or something.
Yeah.
Ugh. And I do like that for the woodsman, even if you take no ranks in... like any of the spell casting or whatever, and you're like, what are you? I'm just a dude who's out in the forest. You can still get points into talk to animals and talk to plants.
Uh-huh, that's right. And although it does say that plants have very little to say.
Well, yeah. They just go, hi, Aquaman!
Wait, why are plants the things that would fish say?
Hi, Aquaman! You seen any crime here out in the forest? Hi, Aquaman! When you do skills, there's a difficulty rating, and generally the difficulty rating is apparently 5 for, this is the, like, middle of the road,
mm-hmm.
and you take whatever your skill is and subtract the difficulty from it, and that gives you what table you're rolling on.
Yes. But by what table you're rolling on, you really mean what column you're rolling on.
Well, what column in the table.
On the only table.
Yeah. There's only one table here, and boy howdy, it sucks a whole lot of ass.
So, okay, the magic system. Do you want to talk about that? Do you think it's about time, or should we talk about the combat system, which is just rolling that fucking table at each other?
I mean, the combat system
There's armor.
You have a few adjustments based on stats. So you can get damage bonuses or dodge bonuses or whatnot for your various stats if they're high enough, or penalties if they're low enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual combat is you have to look at what type of weapon you're using, because they're all going to have different attack values.
Yeah, thank goodness this game finally got granular and complicated.
Yeah, up until now, it was a very easy system that you could just slot into any role-playing game.
Yeah, but now we got to get all... I love it. Use this for any role-playing game. You know, that's D&D.
You know.
Any game that's D&D.
Any fantasy role-playing game that really cares about what weapon type you use and whether or not your martial value is high enough in order to use them without a penalty.
I mean, I do like the idea of that as a thing that exists. Like it's just a cuckoo bird of role-playing games. Like, hey, guys, here's some different rules. Kick the original rules out of the nest and use these worse ones.
And your weapon has three different ways it can get bonuses or penalties. Because it's also what type of weapon it is. Mm-hmm. So a dagger is going to be easier to hit someone with than, say, a battle axe.
That's, yep.
But you also have to worry about what the material is.
That's
because
right.
Like a steel battle axe is going to be better than an iron dagger
or
a bronze dagger or whatever.
Yeah, for some reason they go really far back into the Bronze Age here.
Yeah. But then you also have to check your mastery of various weapon types.
Uh-huh.
And you take all of those numbers, and that'll give you one number, and then that number is going to get
compared against
someone else's number.
A defense number.
Ugh, I hate everything about combat, but whatever. The actual combat is, initiative is garbage, and it has like four different ways to generate it, but
yeah,
it should just be roll a d12.
Yeah, it's like, it says the most basic way to do initiative is whoever has the highest, I think it's agility stat.
Yeah, they're like, oh, whoever's got the best dex score, they go.
They go first. That's it. But,
and
or,
if it's tied, which it will be because everyone is going to have the exact same dex score,
uh-huh,
roll a d12.
Yep. Or just add the results of your dex score to a d12, so everyone's going to roll d12 plus 3.
Dodging is...
possible.
Possible?
Yes.
It's not... you don't have a static defense, because the actual, if something misses or hits you, is basically, did you roll a dash on your d12 table?
Mm-hmm.
But you can try to dodge a thing in order to subtract your dodge rating from the attacker's level to shift the column around.
Right. Yeah.
But there's no way to be like, I dodged that fully.
Yeah, no, it's an attrition game. It's all attrition.
Yeah, it's just I can make it more likely you didn't hit me, but I can't ever guarantee anything because it's all down to the capricious whims of the table.
Yeah. Oh, the one table. Long may it rain.
Your damage is whatever you roll on the table.
Uh-huh.
So if you get a dash, it just means you didn't do anything. Maybe you missed. Maybe you just didn't deal any damage.
Yep.
But whatever you rolled, if you rolled a number, is the damage you deal.
Right.
Unless they have armor and it has damage reduction, which all armor does, and then you have to then take that number and check it against another number.
Uh-huh.
Every single roll in this is checking multiple numbers, rolling on a table, and then checking those numbers against other numbers.
Uh-huh.
It's...
with additional numbers to be named later.
It's bad.
Yeah.
There's an entire, like, and now let's see this all together in action. And it's like two rogues try to jump an adventurer.
Oh, right. And they have stupid names. And
it's Cold Art and No Smart.
Uh-huh. And the adventurer that they have, the two rogues jump, is like...
the Traveler.
He's like dripping with magic weapons and
armor.
Oh,
yeah. He's like, we'll just say that this Traveler has a magic staff and magic boots. And I'm like, okay, so you just had some guy who should be able to murder these two rogues just beat the shit out of them. Great.
Yeah.
And indeed he does.
Uh-huh.
And all the example really does is tell you, oh, you should only be ranged.
Yeah.
Because in the initiative thing, it says if you're at range and the other people aren't, whoever's at range gets to go first.
Yep.
You just do.
Yep.
So not only do you have initiative, but you're -3 to try to dodge if you try and dodge any ranged.
Uh-huh.
So it's less likely that your results will be worse. And there's not really anything they can do about it.
Nope.
Especially if, like this, one idiot runs in front of them and you're just shooting arrows at them.
Uh-huh.
Because there's no penalty for shooting into combat. Because that would be too complicated.
Far too complicated.
My goodness, we're trying to streamline these
rules. We're keeping these simple. Just take this handy-dandy number, compare it to this slightly less handy-dandy number, run those two numbers against each other, compare that to a chart, roll a d12, check for dashes, take the number that results in that, and compare it against a series of additional charts.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to complicate that.
Simple.
It also has mass combat rules.
Which I honestly, I'm very honest with you, John, they were a page long and I skipped that page.
Yeah, it's got a little algebraic equation to figure out what the hit points of your unit is.
Uh-huh.
And then if it runs out, then your unit is routed.
Yeah, they get disbanded. I was like, no one ever cares about these rules.
Yeah.
And in this game, I'm going to care even less. Then after that, we finally get to the magic section, and who doggies does it ever open with a preface? You see, the magic, this is the thing, folks. If you want your little brother to play this game, or perhaps your dumpy friend who doesn't know what from what, you'll give them a class like the woodsman, or perhaps the rogue or the fighter. Idiot classes for people with no imagination. You know, dullards. These are the dullard classes. But
we few, mm-hmm. we lucky few,
we chosen
we
few.
Band of brothers.
Those of us who have seen the light of true creativity might prefer the magic system because it's a place for you to let your creativity shine.
Magic in this game is split up into fields in sort of the same way that skills are.
Uh-huh.
So you could have, I've got fire field, or I've just got energy or negation or whatever.
Yeah, the big ones, usually each class has like four big fields and a bunch of smaller fields, but the difference between the big and the small fields is that some of them are labeled big and others are labeled small.
Yes, it doesn't actually matter.
Uh-huh.
But all of the text in this section and nowhere else in the book is written from the perspective of someone in the game.
Yes.
Because for some reason, for this, they're talking like, oh, and us in the university believe that if anyone were to ever find out if energy as a study could tie all things together, then it would change magic as we know it. But no one has yet. Anyway, I don't know why this is in game-like character and
this,
nothing else is.
This
but
one part is diegetic. It's so weird.
It's a very strange choice.
Yeah.
Because it also just doesn't give you as much on any of the smaller ones, because all of them are like, oh, people say it might be able to do this, but no one knows, and no one has seen a master of this art. And you're like, okay, that's great, but if I put points into it, what happens?
Who could possibly tell?
You wrote this, but god damn it.
It isn't as inscrutable as the stars.
Arrgh.
Simply roll a d12 and consult this handy chart.
Simply roll a d12 and I'll tell you what happens. I don't care.
Okay, so yeah. The way it works
is you're going to have ranks in any given magic area.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put ranks into whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
but whatever your rank level is. So let's say I have 7 ranks in fire and 2 ranks in earth.
Yeah.
The most I can spend spell point-wise is my rank. So I can spend 7 points on a fire spell or 2 points on an earth spell.
Uh-huh.
The actual casting, there are no specific spells. You just say what you want to do, mm-hmm. and then you put as many points into the spell as you want, and your realm master interprets it.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't even say, like, oh, if you put 7 points into this, it is a 7-point modifier to whatever. They're like, oh, no, here's an example where an illusionist makes a 7-point dragon, and he decides that that's a -4 to a thing. Why? Because fuck you, that's what he decided.
My favorite thing about that example with the illusionist dragon is, okay, so... The way it works, you can build spells by combining individual categories. You'll use a main field. So in his case, he used his main field of illusion. And then he was like, well, I'm creating a spell of a flight of dragons that'll come swooping down. So I'll add some fire as a helper field so that there's some heat coming off of their breath weapons. And I'll add some wind as a helper field because, the wind...
The beat of their wings.
The beat of their wings. Also, I'll throw some chaos magic in as a help because, I don't know, fuck it. And that's, I mean, it doesn't say fuck it, but otherwise, that's literally why. It's like,
and the reason for that is the only way you can spend more points on a spell than you have in a field is by using helper fields.
Uh huh.
So normally that mage has a 7 in illusion and could only cast a 7-point illusionary dragon.
He wants it to be a 10-point spell.
So he just goes ahead and says, all right, I throw some random garbage in there and bump it up by 1 point per extra thing.
Yeah, but each one's supposed to do something. Fire for the breath weapon, air for the wing beats, chaos because I needed to put another point in this.
And chaos because dragons are chaotic? I don't know.
Yeah, and the thing is, the chaos field thing keeps coming up. All of the examples feature the wizards throwing some chaos into their spell to see what might happen. And in the first example, it's like, oh, the dragons are extremely believable because of all these nonsense effects that are going off at once. In the second, it's like, oh, this one guy wants to mess with this other guy, so he shoots a bolt of pure chaos at him. It's reduced to a value of 2, which ruffles his hair.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at it going like, wait a minute. So... that's what a value of 2 is ruffling someone's hair. Mm-hmm. That's the level of effect for any level 2. So if I use a level 2 fire spell, the effect will be maybe I singe someone's eyebrows, and that's the best I can hope for.
Who knows?
There's no table here in the same way that there's no table for what do successes mean. There is no table for what does it mean if I put in 5 points to a spell as opposed to 7.
Now, there are 3 types of basic wizard that you can play as in this game, although there are a few other ways to get access to the spell systems. The 3 spell casters are the spell twister, which is your wizard / sorcerer, and their primary fields are like fire, cold.
It's elemental.
Elemental, earth energy, yeah. But then they got a lot of secondary fields, and their secondary fields are things like negation and protection and stuff like that. Then you've got the healer fields, which are exactly what you'd think. They are, but basic healing is divided into 3 sections. They're like body and spirit.
It's flesh, and blood, and
vitality or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they also have a bunch of subfields. There are things like necromancy and abjuration and food and water. And the last one is psychics, because this game has psionics in it, although honestly, it's just another kind of spellcaster.
Yeah, they have a different set of things they can affect that are like emotions or their mental things.
Their big 3 are logic, passion, and memory.
Yeah.
And then their small ones are like phasing, metamorphosis, telekinesis. So there's something like 20 of these different fields you can pick from, and you're just supposed to buy ranks in them just like you would buy ranks and skills and cobble together spells kind of just saying what you'd like to happen, which... honestly, if this game wasn't a steaming pile from the beginning, would be rad.
Well, if the amount of power you put into a spell meant anything beside ask your RM what they believe, then it would be a very cool system of just, oh, cool, I've got like these different things. I can go ahead and make a 4-point fire spell. But I'm
going to do at least 4 damage because it's a 4-point fire spell.
Yeah, and if someone...
simple.
Yeah, if someone wants to try and negate it, it's a 4-point negation. Like, you have all these one-to-one things, that would be great, but you don't. But then you could go like, oh, I'm going to make a 4-point fire, but then I'm going to throw in 2 points of water because what I want to do is a steam blast. And at that point, you'd be like, cool. Neat, you did it. You did a cool thing.
Finally, in 1997, you predicted the game, what's it called, Magicka?
Yeah.
Yeah, you made Magicka, which honestly would be a great role-playing game system if you're like, yeah, I'd like to combine this lightning and these stones to create, like, lightning bombs, and I'm going to throw them on the ground, and they'll blow up and do lightning worth of damage. That'd be nice for me, thank you.
Yeah,
But in this game, instead, it's a 10-cost spell. I think my favorite thing in here is the part where it's like, oh, by the way, if you keep casting the same spell over and over again, that shows them, that's a real mark of creativity. And your lore master should reward you by making that a signature spell.
Yeah, you gain mastery over a spell if you've used it several times.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it costs you
half, I think,
half the magic points to use. So if it was a 10-point spell, now you can cast it for 5. Great. Uh-huh. And it's considered to be 1 point level higher in the field. So now that level 10 spell is a level 11.
That costs 6. It costs 5.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It means
who
never,
knows?
It means only ever cast the same. Oh, it changes the negation field values.
Yeah.
That's all that really does. But what it really boils down to is you should always cast the same spell in this game. It's like, oh, yes, this is the true bastion of creativity. This is the font from which all brilliance of role-playing game springs. However, you should build a powerful fire spell and cast it over and over again until your lore master relents and lets you cast it for half cost. And then because it's half cost, you should never cast anything else.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And especially because you look at it and you're like, the first couple levels as a spellcaster, you're going to have like 7 or 8 points.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to cast 2 things in a day and be like, well, that was me.
Yep.
So I better get mastery in something real quick, but I can only get it when I cast the spell at like whatever the level is.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to cast it at the maximum level so that the discount is the most.
Yes, you can't grow your spells.
Yeah, you can't be like,
your maximized
spells.
Well,
I got a mastery in a spell that was like the 3 fire and a water for the steam blast, but what if I want to make a 6 fire and a water steam blast? Well, that's an entirely different spell.
You gotta start from the beginning and pay full price at a high level to get that. It reminds me of when I was playing Diablo 2 way back in the day when in order to, you didn't have a respec system for the talent tree, so you'd usually have to be like, all right, I'm going to get to level 50 before I spend any of my talent points because I'm building a character for specific rating purposes. We'll just see how long I survive.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that because your early levels, you only exist to kind of survive to high levels so you can do things.
Yeah, your early levels, you'll probably actually be creative because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And then later on, you're like, oh, sweet. Can I actually throw 10 points into a spell?
And the,
great, I'm going to do that until it costs me 5 and then throw it twice instead of once.
The real function of creativity in this game is to see how much shit you can explain away to your DM, or lore master, at how...
It's RM.
RM, to your role master, at how low of a cost. If
yeah.
You're like, hey, guy, I'd like to cast this chaos magic spell. I'll put 1 point in it, and what I'd like it to do is slam all the doors in the building open. That feels like it should be 3 points in chaos. I'll give you 2 points. I am very creative.
I'm so creative, though. What if I do a 1-point chaos and help with wind?
Yeah, great. These negotiations are super fun, says the fighter. Luckily, he's a dullard.
Luckily, he is too busy drooling and licking a window.
Oh, you ran out of doorknobs.
Doorknobs are clean. Anything else you want licked?
Ah, I'm so glad we have dullards to play with. That they truly make our creativity shine. Okay,
yeah.
Well, there you go. There's a little section in the back of monsters, and if you wanted to guess that the monsters were mega boring for a game that's supposed to be about mutants piling out of evil portals from the dark pole of reality.
Well, then by God, you better recognize that there's a harpy and a hydra and a gargoyle and an orc.
Yeah, shine up your Sunday best, because here comes a kobold, spelled with an A on the second O spot.
Hey, here's a skeleton, and don't confuse that with a skeleton warrior.
Those are two very different things.
Here's a mummy. Yay. Welcome to the Dark Realms.
This is twice this week, or this month.
No, the only thing in this book that actually manages to then get creative is the demons section.
Oh, right. There are some pretty cool demons.
Where they're like,
sort of.
What's this? This is the Quergatas. It is a giant head with 2 wings and a tail, and its mouth is as big as a human, and it tries to bite you in half. And you're like, all right, cool.
That's kind of neat.
Great.
By the way, you need to be like level 14 to even dream of facing one.
Oh, yeah. This guy has too many hit points. There's a Lorgax. The Lorgax is an idiot.
He speaks
and gets
for the-
one attack every 2 rounds because it's too stupid to do things.
Well, he does speak for the trees, though.
Yeah. I'm the Lorgax. I speak for the Treebs.
I speak for the Treegies.
Ugh.
Yeah, so the monsters are boring. And then there's finally a little section on this game's very own campaign setting.
Which is like a page long.
Uh-huh.
And the general premise is like a magnet with two different polar opposites on either end.
So a magnet?
With two opposites.
Okay, but that's what every magnet is.
It's got a light side and a dark side, and okay. Earth sits in the middle.
Okay, but that's what every magnet is, though.
Yeah, Earth sits in the middle of every magnet.
That is true. That's correct.
Well, that's not true, because sometimes rarely Earth is in the middle. Rare Earth magnets.
Yeah, I used to base 40K miniatures, too. I'm up to speed.
So, the whole setting is the dark pole of the universe will open up dark portals where minions will come out, and those are the demons. Because everything else in this book, like the skeleton warriors and the kobolds and the hydras and whatnot, are just shit you find in your random fantasy game.
Those are the creatures in your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's not a, ooh, the Dark Realms are invading and they brought a harpy. It's, no, they brought demons. You've already been fighting harpies.
Yeah.
But they occasionally will sneak into a realm and, like, corrupt it enough that they can take the whole planet into the Dark Realm.
And wouldn't you know it, Darkseid is currently winning. They'll need a brave group of heroes.
But the weird thing for me with this in the description is, oh yeah, and whenever anything gets pulled into the Dark Realm, it mutates, and it sometimes the most fearsome of beasts will become not but a pest, and something as small as a rabbit can be fierce as a dragon. I have watched Monty Python.
I saw someone try to defend that joke as fresh the other day, where they were like, oh, I'm trying to figure out a way to use small versions of big creatures in D&D and big versions of small creatures so I can create new and fresh ideas, like, say, that legendary rabbit from the Monty Python episode.
You know,
like,
new and fresh ideas.
I was like, you know that rabbit is 1 year younger than Dungeons & Dragons as a concept, right? 1974, 1975, respectively. You know that, right?
But it has a thing where it's like, oh, sometimes people get pulled into the Dark Realms and they'll mutate into horrible monsters. But sometimes they'll turn into, like, shining beacons of hope.
But don't worry, there's no stats for any of this.
Oh, don't worry, there's no guidelines for if you were to get pulled into the Dark Realm, because we don't believe in rules here. Now, if you just please look at these five sets of numbers and do a complex mathematic equation and then check this chart that you'll roll on to check a different number.
And don't forget to buy the future books in this line with more of this.
Oh, here's what happens with dark portals. It'll take you to the Dark Realm, and here are the demons. What about portals to the Light Realm? Why, that's coming up in our next book. Fuck you, game, forever.
John, what would you say is your favorite thing about this particular wiener size?
Wiener size me, Cap'n.
Yeah, man, October's wiener size month. You gotta work your ween until it's in perfect shape. Every ween.
So, the general idea of the magic system is probably the best thing in here. Mm-hmm. If you're already going to have a game that's just, you know, do a whole bunch of dumb nonsense to get a number and that number means nothing, ask the dude running the game what it means.
Uh-huh.
At least with the spells, they're like, oh, we gave up on the pretense of even having rules. It's just, tell me what you want to do, I'll tell you if you can, that's it.
Yeah. Which, honestly, that's a good role-playing game right there. That's if you don't have any role-playing games books, you could just play pretend with your friends, and it's hella fun.
You just sit around a table and say, my guy has 7 magic points. I use 3 on a fireball? Okay, sure. It does fireball damage, and the orc is thusly burned.
Well, there you go. I'm going to have to agree with you here. The only part of this game that's kind of interesting is the magic system. And I like the different categories and the kind of idea that you're combining categories to form your own spell out of them. Granted, it's completely ignorable. You could be like, well, I'd like to create an illusion of a dragon that's got hot fire for breath and is beating its wings. And I'll just do all of that with illusion, not because fuck helper spells, because I'll create the illusion of fire instead of the actuality of fire. Fuck it.
The helper spells are just there to be like, oh, I need to get above my max.
That's the only reason they exist. And you can do them with anything. You'd be like, I'll create an illusion of dragons, and I'll add, I don't know, healing so I can get higher up, I can get a higher die roll.
Except the game very much is like, now your realm master will tell you, now, you're not actually using that as a helper spell.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do that.
Fine, they heal each other while they fly down.
That doesn't happen because they're illusions. There's nothing to heal. And also, healing isn't a section. There's flesh, blood, and vitality. And because this is an illusion, they have neither flesh, blood, nor vitality. So, as you can see,
they have illusory flesh, blood, and vitality, much as they have illusory hot fire dragon breath, which was already demonstrated to work in the example in the book. Therefore,
well, that's not illusory. That was a helper spell of fire, which created real fire. So how about you suck these nuts?
All you're suggesting is that my illusory dragons bleed real blood now. I will take it. It's wonderful.
They don't, though. You can have a little ball of coagulated blood follow them around if you want to.
I mean, yes.
It doesn't help.
Well, now you're just being petulant.
I am, because I'm the realm master, and everything in this game is up to me.
What's your least favorite thing?
Oh, definitely the worst thing in this game for me has got to be that fucking chart. I mean, Jesus Christ.
It's, why is it non-sequential? Why?
Just looking at it, you're like, this doesn't make sense. At one point, I even tried to see if they had a mathematical progression on the numbers in each column.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, the low end column has two ones and a two. Okay. The next column has three twos and a one. All right. Well, let's see the next guy. And I just tried to see if they were following some sort of like actual logical progression, and boy, are they not.
Did you try to run every possible Borg algorithm?
I even extrapolated from theoretical databases.
You just needed to apply a ventricular overlay.
See, what I didn't do was try and blast it with tachyon emissions.
Good times. Good times had by all. Try a Polaron burst. All right, there you have it. That's
What's your least favorite thing, Jeff?
I'm going to say my least favorite thing in the book is the opening to the magic section where it's like, I mean, it's some delicious hate for it to be like, ah, yes, this is truly the realm of the genius. Give your slack-jawed beef-wit of a friend the fighter while you claim the wizard for yourself.
fucking games.
No, you shouldn't do that. You should assume your friends are cool like you, and they would also like to have fun like you do, and then everyone's a fun wizard.
Yeah, but if everyone's a fun wizard, then I don't get to win. I want to win at this game of role-playing.
Normally, I'm one of the most competitive people, and yet I don't have that viewpoint at all. I don't know what's happening.
It's because
I'm less competitive than you, I guess.
Well, that's true.
That's not true. I'm more competitive than you, but I'm
more... That's not remotely true.
I'm way more competitive than you.
I'll bet you I'm more competitive than you. Let's have a contest to see who's more competitive.
Here's the actual truth, John. I'm way more competitive than you, but I'm worse at things. Will you settle for that?
No, I won't.
Damn it.
I'm more competitive. Fuck you. No, my family is super competitive, and so just any time I do anything, I'm like, yeah, I play to win. I'm not an asshole when I win or lose, but boy, am I playing to win.
I mean, one of your sisters works in government in D.C. The other one's doing very well.
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood?
Yeah.
And you have a San Diego local role-playing game podcast, so I feel like I might be more competitive than you.
No.
Oh, okay, fine. You're very competitive, but you're losing.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to my family, yes, obviously I'm losing.
Whatever, that just means you win in Christmas presents every year.
It does. It means I don't need to buy anyone anything. I just show up and go, "Oi, governor, spare some gruel for a young boy." And they're like, "Oh, you little urchin, get in here.
How about a young boy's fellow podcaster?" No, you get out.
No. Oh, oh, I'm just kidding. Get in here. My family's also very nice.
It's true. Oh, you friendly Lutherans.
Yeah, but famously, my dad, the story for competitiveness is he would go play Scrabble with the same like senior citizen who was pretty much just a shut-in,
mm-hmm.
and never let her win. would always beat her, and it was amazing because that's my family. They're like, I'm not going to let someone win. If you came to play, we play.
I mean, letting someone win at Scrabble is truly painful.
It's hard. Because
the game takes a long time, and to intentionally be underplaying your value for and over again for hours.
Honestly, the way you let someone win at Scrabble is to, like, purposefully set up things for them.
That's the thing. You have to literally be like, all right, I'm going to play like a moron. I set up a word,
and it goes over, so you've got one letter open that's an S next to the triple word score. Mm-hmm. Please do whatever you would wish.
Yeah, whereas my way to play Scrabble is to see how many solid blocks of letters I can build on the field.
Yeah, I want this to just be a cube.
By around the eighth turn of a Scrabble game, I want no one to be able to do anything.
I would like no one to have fun. See, you're not competitive. You're an asshole.
That doesn't mean I haven't memorized every two- and three-letter word in the Scrabble dictionary. Just so I can keep setting up these tents of dense word brick.
Anyway.
Would you play this game?
Nope.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Happy Halloween.
I do like the idea of the magic system here, like I said. Like, if someone wanted to run this, the only way to do this would be everyone's a wizard, everyone's level, like, 12, so you have a bunch of points to throw around, and then you just get to be like, yeah, I make up a weird spell! That's rad! I also make up a weird spell!
Rad!
And that's the only way to do this.
Now we're caught up in the crossfire!
I cast crossfire! I use holy plus fire, and I create a crossfire. I put it on someone's lawn, and oh no.
Oh,
oops-a-daisies. Oh,
this is a mistake.
Oops, I fucked up.
I would like to apologize.
Listeners, I'm sorry.
Okay, so I would also not play this game. And also, John, I really want to make the mention of the fact that somehow this ween, this glorious ween, we've managed to choose two horror games that don't have any horror in them.
That's true.
We did it.
We found the games that are like, welcome to our horrifying realm. Anyway, there's nothing here.
So I guess what we should have called this season was like non-threatening ween.
Approachable ween.
G-ween. You know, for the rating.
Oh, G-ween. Gween.
Gween.
Gween pool.
So there you
Spider have. Gween.
God damn it. Well, there you have it. That's, what was this called? Dark Realms?
Yeah, that's Dark Realms.
There's Dark Realms. Happy Ween, everyone.
We are going to make some characters in this.
Yep.
Am I going to make a wizard? Maybe. Is it going to be more than level one? Maybe.
I have no idea. But we'll definitely make stuff, and we'll definitely present it to you if you're one of the few, the proud, the Patreon subscribers.
We band of brothers.
Uh-huh. To do that, you just go to patreon.com/sistermastery and support us at any level.
That is more than a dollar.
Well, you can't.
That is a dollar or more.
Patreon won't let you pledge under a dollar.
Oh, they won't let you be like, here's 2 cents, yeah, you fuck.
You can't do it. There's a minimum.
Dick whistle.
It's not because they're thinking about their creators. It's because they're thinking about their credit card charges.
Oh, yeah. They're like, we're not going to spend 30 cents to run a credit card for someone to give you 5 cents. That's a no-go.
Yeah, so... So, even at the minimum level of Patreon pledge, you will unlock the basic bonus content for the show, where we will make characters in the game we just discussed and discuss the game further. However, you can pledge at additional higher levels at $2 and $5, for example, will both unlock more content.
So much content.
You'll get Star Wars bonus content. You'll get weird, random other bonus content. So much content. Up to 7 extra episodes a month. Sometimes more. Actually,
sometimes more.
It's a floor of 7 extra episodes a month, actually, I should say. It's usually more.
Generally more.
Yeah, we make so much content. You will never have to drive to work listening to shitty Jack FM radio stations ever again.
Look, you'll never have to listen to any other podcast ever again.
Nope.
But if you do, mm-hmm, make sure it's on the One Shot Network, and probably the thing that I'm on, Arms of the Tide.
Is that technically on the network right now?
Yeah.
Hey, then yeah, definitely listen to it.
Hell yeah, go listen to Arms of the Tide. It's got me on it. We got a weird cyber magic punk anti-establishment game where I'm a robot and I love cats.
I love that, John. Conceptually, I love that. Logistically, I'm not a huge fan because we have to plug the book. But as a concept, I do love it.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the book.
Speaking of the book.
We wrote a book.
We did write a book, and boy, if you want it, That's weird, but you can get it. You can pre-order now on the website, SystemMasteryPodcast.com.
We have our own page on SimonandSchuster.com.
We're in the Library of Congress, bitches.
Somehow that happened.
Yeah, I'm going to live forever.
So, well, I guess that's something. Now you have to bring presents to Christmas.
Now I have to bring presents. I'd be like, yeah, are you in the Library of Congress? And of course, my sister that works in government will be, yes, I've published several scientific writings when I was in college. And I'll be like, I hate you so much. Why are you the smartest person I've ever met? Ugh.
Also, everything I ever did in Hollywood is definitely in the Library of Congress. God damn it.
Fuck both of you.
Fine, give me presents.
You give me those presents. Your present is this book. Fuck you.
So anyway,
I'm just kidding. My sister listens to this, and she's a lovely, wonderful person, and she would never not give me a Christmas present out of spite.
Wait, are you trying to cover your bases
minute, hold on.
That's not a very competitive thing to do.
That's the only competitive thing to do.
Fair enough. Covering the spread is very competitive. Fine.
Yeah. More competitive and smarter.
We already established that you're smarter. I just wanted more competitive.
Too bad. Oh,
I could have really used a boost today. Maybe how about a game of Scrabble?
How about a nice game of chess?
Except I'll fucking take you to the mat in Scrabble. You can have every other board game that's ever been created, but Scrabble is mine. All right, so yeah, the book's called A Dragon Walks Into a Bar. You can pre-order it on our website, www.systemmasterypodcast.com. Go there and you will find yourself a link to pre-order the book, which would help us out a lot, because those pre-order sales are what are going to get us another book.
Yeah, and they will be out in time for Christmas. It makes a great Christmas present. If you're a grandma and you know somebody who likes role-playing games, please give them our book and tell them it says role-playing on it, and I thought you'd like that.
By the way, don't ask us what the book is about, because that doesn't matter. It's not important. It's fine. It's fine. The book is great. The book is us as a book. Which is to say, it's shitty but very competitive. The important thing about the book is that you should get it. Don't worry about the contents of the book. I feel like a lot of your questions about the book have already been answered by the cover of the book.
For more information, see this book.
For more information, buy my book. Buy my book.
Anything else?
Buy my book. Yeah, no, I'm done.
Good.
Thanks so much for listening. Happy Ween to you all.
And a blessed Ween to you, Jeff.
Yeah, the three blessings of Ween to you, John.
Blessings of Ween upon us all.
Remember not to ask me what they are, because that's the first rule of the blessings of Ween.
First rule of Ween is you don't talk about Ween.
You don't ask me about stuff I established 3 years ago, because I'll forget. That's the first rule of Ween.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, and you all have a Weenie week.
Be repeatedly tricked by horror covers.
It's a nice day for a
ween.
It's a nice day to